Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on a rainy Monday. Truth Straight Up, brought to you by?
Brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website, and also Dr. Julie McCallan and Denver Cenogenics. Chuck, in fact, is on a brand new diet with her, lost 10 pounds. Congratulations. Nice. Yeah, it was just texting
week
her.
One.
Week one. Well, yeah, that'd be like, I've lost 10 pounds in the past.
Well, I probably have a total weight slightly above.
just a teensy bit. But anyway, Dr. Julie McCallan at Denver Cenogenics, great for taking care of all of your health issues. Ton of stuff to talk about today. We have no guests, so feel free to weigh in if you want to call 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. If you're joining us on Zoom, go ahead and just unmute yourself or raise your hand or go ahead and type in the chat section of the comments too. Lots of ways to participate. Wanted to start out talking about JonBenet Ramsey. JonBenet Ramsey, I years ago when this story broke, I probably did 3 or 4 JonBenet Ramsey live shots a day for years, right? I mean, it was huge.
Still get
story
royalties.
Yeah, I do. Actually, Macy, sometimes I get like 99 cents every couple of years. I was in it was a CBS made for TV movie. and I was in that. I played myself very briefly in that. That's right. I'd forgotten about that. It's always kind of fun to explain to the tax guys, oh yeah, that's my, you know,
my royalties
from my TV show. But over the weekend, and Truth Straight Up is what we're going to be talking about here. Truth Straight Up on the disinformation campaign. Chuck had a great theory that Karl Rove stole from him. Also, we're intrigued by the whole Johnny Depp trial, too. We got to talk about that a little bit. But over the weekend, John Ramsey launched a petition drive asking Governor Polis to intervene in the case and basically have set up an independent agency to review DNA in the case, right? Here's what you need to know about this. So John
Ramsey at a Las Vegas crime convention.
Crime convention. Just
As you do.
So if you think for a second that any of this was spontaneous or that Governor Polis is not going to grant John Ramsey's petition, then I've got some swampland in Florida. John Ramsey doesn't make a public announcement like that with former Channel 9 reporter Paula Woodward interviewing him at
his
a big convention, right? At a big convention like that without having had prior conversation. I guarantee you this with Governor Polis's people. And this was the governor's response. The governor's response wasn't like, what?
What are you talking about?
Who? John? What? JonBenet? The governor's response said that they will review and look into how the state can assist in using technology to further investigate and identify the killer. So that's a yes, basically. That means we're going to try to figure out how to do this without totally annoying the Boulder police,
and
who basically
could care less.
Well, yeah, the Boulder police put out a statement and said, hey, we have been investigating it. So na, na, na. And, you know,
as everybody can remember when they had the big trucking accident and the Hispanic man was sentenced to over 100 years in jail. He didn't even wait for the resentencing hearing. Didn't wait for the judge. He didn't wait for anybody. He just said, oh, yeah, I count it to 5 years. There you go.
And the petition on change.org references that, saying we can tell by your intervention in that case that you care about people. Yeah, you care about
people. You're a publicity hoax.
So I guarantee you, number one, that was discussed beforehand, and that number two, it's going to happen. Now, why would Jared Polis care? I mean, he's got a Democrat DA in Boulder. Well, Jared Polis would happily throw any other Democrat under the bus.
Democratic DA in Jefferson County when he went the other way.
He doesn't care. Phil Weiser is going to do whatever Jared Polis tells him to do, right? And what you've got there is Jared Polis realizing that this was, Chuck, pay attention, that this was This would be good publicity for him, right? That's all this is about. Just like he knew that the Disneyland and Disney World isn't going to move to Colorado, doesn't care, makes the big announcement.
No big corporation wants to move to overregulated Colorado, keeps on coming up new ways to increase costs for employers. I mean, that's a joke.
But anyway, so that's what's going to happen. I guarantee you heard it here first that there is going to be a renewed push and maybe an independent agency. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to push, but we're going to have on Wednesday, and you guys are not going to want to miss this, John St. Augustine. He was an investigator in the Tom Clements case. He was the victim, basically, of a prosecutor.
George Brockler.
Right, attack when all charges were dropped. That's a whole other story. But he also worked with a detective from Colorado Springs named Lou Smith, who was essentially the Ramsey's attorney.
Investigator.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Investigator. There have always been in this story two camps, basically. The Ramsey's did it. If you even Google it, it's RDI. Ramsey's did it or IDI. Intruder did it. John St. Augustine obviously falls into the intruder did it. And I spent a lot of time talking to him this morning. I have to admit, I have always fallen more in the Ramsey's did it camp for a variety of reasons. Although there have been some recent, back in 2008, some DNA stuff that made me think, huh, it's possible. And we can talk about all of that, but he's going to come on the show Wednesday and talk about, this is going to shock you, a failure by the police to actually do their job. He said, I was under the impression, because the Boulder police keep talking about, they've tested hundreds of things for DNA. And John St. Augustine basically says, well, it's what they're testing that matters and what they're not testing that matters. There are some key pieces of evidence that the DNAs that the Boulder DA and the Boulder Police Department submit for testing in the JonBenet Ramsey case, but then they don't actually get tested, right? Or they haven't bothered to submit. You would think that they would have bothered. I mean, look at all the cold cases get solved by doing that genealogy background, right? They haven't bothered to do that either.
They're so tired of hearing about JonBenet.
Right. Well, they're going to hear. Well, and keep in mind, a couple of the guys who were working on the case at the very beginning are now in command positions.
How about to retire?
Well, but they're in command positions. Well, they're sure. Right. The last thing they want is people questioning them. So I think this is where I think on this, and we'll talk more about it Wednesday. To me, it's like, it doesn't matter whether you think the Ramsey's did it or the intruder did it. Why not get all of the forensic evidence you can and go ahead and with the advances that have been made in the DNA technology, why not go ahead and test some of these key pieces of evidence for DNA? We know that there were 3 DNA samples found in JonBenet's underwear and the long johns she was wearing and under her fingernails. Now, it's my understanding it had been my understanding that the police were putting these off as sort of contaminated DNA samples. They didn't match to anyone and they weren't particularly great samples. It wasn't like 100%, you know, eureka, this is the person. But John St. Augustine was telling me today that that they did come from the same source. So that's kind of interesting. Right. Now, the question is, how do I say it? He's clearly coming at it from his point of view too. But it seems to me that if they could test some of the other things, for instance, they never did a DNA test apparently on the ropes that were around her wrist and the ligature that was used to strangle her. Now you'd think that would be kind of important, right? If they found, say, some DNA that doesn't match the Ramsey's but matches these other sets of DNA on the underwear and under her fingernails, well, that would seem to be significant,
there,
right? And why not do some genealogy testing on that? So I think actually it's a good idea. But again, don't for a second be fooled and think that Governor Polis and John Ramsey had not discussed, maybe not them directly, but their people hadn't discussed this. And I think don't be shocked at all if in the next little while we find out that the Governor Polis, and I would say he'll do it pretty quickly.
He'll wait to pretend he's doing due diligence.
Well, he's gonna try to deal with the annoyed Boulder police and the DA who's going.
He doesn't care about the annoyed.
Well, that's
Boulder
good. True. I guess you're right. He didn't care. He didn't even bother to call the DA, did
no,
he? In Jefferson
no, or
County.
The judge,
or the judge. Yeah, he just did it. So maybe it'll come down this afternoon while we're on our show. But you aren't going to want to miss the Wednesday show, though. It's going to be fascinating to listen to John St. Augustine, because in this case, I have to say, there's always you can point to this that says that the Ramsey's did it, but then you could go, yeah, but what about this? And then an intruder did it, but then you could find other piece of evidence, say, yeah, but what about this? So it is one of those cases that is interesting. I think where I come down bottom line is, why not? I mean, the government spends money. Look at how much money they spend on useless COVID tests, right? You'd think they could maybe spend some money on some DNA testing, right? And get some answers here. There's plenty of money. And according to Johnson,
there's always plenty of money.
According to Johnson Augustine, the Ramses had offered to pay for it too. Send it to an independent lab and say, we'll pay for it. So I don't know why they're even dawdling their fingers
Ramsey,
there.
Not the Ramses, but.
Right. Yeah. Well, Steve says the answer to who killed that little girl went to the grave with Patsy. You know, Sandra says, I remember Augustine talking about that when Mark did your show when you were gone. I thought he was interesting at the time. Steve, could the Bow of the police have done a worse job at the crime scene and securing the scene and collective evidence? Like literally, Stephen, the answer to that is no, they could not have. I interviewed Linda Arndt, who was the detective who was left there after everybody left. She assumed, rightly so, that the police had searched the house before they all left, but they did not. And so when she told John Ramsey, she told John Ramsey, okay, fine. He was kind of hovering around. She was like, okay, go search the house. And he comes back carrying JonBenet's body. She was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and then she felt bad because they blamed her, but it's like all these other people. I mean, it could have been handled worse. Everybody's traipsing around. JonBenet or John Ramsey, he literally picks the body out of the crime scene, clutches it to him, carries it into the living room where then numerous people are gathered. I mean, it was, and nobody's separated, nobody's interviewed. It couldn't have been done worse. And I think the Boulder police have been running around ever since. Then you've got the DAs who also, one says totally they did it, the other clears them. Remember that kook job, John Mark Carr, who they picked up in Thailand?
I wonder if his DNA is there.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
And he confessed too.
Yeah, it is like, John Mark Carr's DNA.
And they bring him to Boulder. Remember that circus? They bring him to Boulder, and then they say, "Yay, we got the killer. He did it." And then actually, he can prove he was like in Thailand at the time. It's like, oh, never mind. So then we find out many years later that the grand jury actually wanted to indict both parents. It's not funny, but for child abuse resulting in death, and the DA said, "No, but we've done this whole grand jury thing for months. No, I know, but we were totally anticipating." Because Alex Hunter did not want to prosecute the parents.
Is Alex Hunter still alive?
I think he died not that long ago. So anyway, but that's going to be fascinating to talk to St. Augustine. How much money, exactly, Jacob, how much money was spent trying to convict the four people in the Whitmer kidnapping? Exactly. Yeah. You know, Polis didn't give a darn that the trucker who killed people in I-70 knew that its brake weren't working because he was told by the trunking company to stay on top of the mountain, et cetera, et cetera. We believe Polis would do anything. Do we believe Polis would do anything without getting benefits somewhere? No, something fishy here. Exactly. Well, I remember this too. Now, Jared Polis would have been young at the time, but I mean, they're both from Boulder, right? You got to imagine that they know some of the same people.
Brian Polis's fingerprints.
Yeah, maybe he was a kid there. So anyway, so we'll be talking about that. We've got Sherry from Lakewood on lane two. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Hey.
It seems to me like didn't the grand jury already say that the parents were guilty of putting her in the situation where she got murdered?
What they did is they returned what they call a true bill with both parents, child abuse resulting in death. My understanding of that verdict was that the grand jurors felt that the evidence led them to believe that one of the parents killed JonBenet and the other one covered it up, but they couldn't tell who did what. And since they couldn't be forced to testify against each other, right? So that was the way they handled it. Child abuse resulting in death.
Oh, because I understood they put her, that they got convicted, not convicted, but that they wanted them to, yes. Because they put her in the situation.
And that could be, so that brings up the whole question of Burke Ramsey, right? Who was obviously.
But not necessarily, because if you really start looking at what's going on today with our government and blackmail and Epstein, and you start looking at that, are you guys familiar at all? Have you looked into the MK Ultra and the Project Monarch from the CIA?
No.
Are you familiar at all with Kathy O'Brien?
Uh-uh. Are these...
Okay. So Kathy O'Brien is a survivor from the CIA MK Ultra Project Monarch. And Project Monarch, the reason she got in it is because the dad got caught sending pornography. He was doing pornography and molesting her from a baby. Right. And what the CIA does is then they say, okay, well, we won't prosecute you if you will let us have your child in our program. The program being the MK Ultra. There is a great movie. It's called Trance. She wrote a great book called Transformation of America. True story, true person. And that's what's going on today. And it's very common for a lot of these wealthy families incest and just even selling, not even selling the kids. It's a mind control technique. And then the CIA is involved in this stuff. And I don't see, if you look at Patsy and kind of how she is and who she was, and then you look at JonBenet, and then you look at the friends, whose Christmas party were they at?
No,
he was already accused of child molestation.
A couple of things on that, and you're absolutely right about that, Sherry. At the time, and I talked to a lot of cops about this. If you remember the pictures, this was a very much sexualized 6-year-old little girl. Right now, the question was, what was behind that? How was she just a good actress? Was she just a good mimic, or was there something more going on? And there was at the time. And I guess, as you're right, it's always been kind of underneath the surface. Was there some sort of, as we know, exists in some places, child sex rings? My understanding, though, just for what it's worth, from the grand jury indictment, I don't believe that was what they thought. I don't think they saw any evidence about that. I think it was more their indictments that they handed down were more the result of they thought somehow the family was involved, but they didn't know who did what. But Sherry, you're right. That's another thing, right? I mean, you do have this unexplained DNA, at least partial DNA, on the little girl's underwear and long johns and under her fingernails, right? And how did people get in the house? So you're absolutely right. This is a case where there are so many questions.
Clapper.
Eric Clapper did it. If you're the bullet police, why not go ahead and do the DNA testing? I was sort of shocked to hear all the things that they hadn't bothered to test.
So please watch the film Trance with Kathy O'Brien and really understand the stuff that is going on, because what they can do when they sexually traumatize young children is it makes compartments in the kids' brains to where, how can I say it? It separates personalities.
Right.
So you can make different personalities with these kids.
Right.
It's amazing.
And it is tragic. Now, I'm not saying that happened in this case, but I know, back then too, I was doing a whole series of stories on pornography on the internet. And it was, the photographer I was working with said, he had to go home and take a shower every night. It is truly unbelievable what people do to children. And just when you think that it couldn't have happened, then you see it. So,
and listen, Sherry,
we'll check out that out.
Bye-bye.
All right. So Leo's saying, good thing you did this today, would have made a bad topic for Party Friday. That's true there, Leo. So we're going to, but anyway, that's also to let you know, listen in on Wednesday, though, when John St. Augustine, he's here. He's going to be on at 3:00. The other thing I wanted to talk about, yet again, Chuck is right, I think, kind of thing.
As always,
follow the money. So why don't you, when this whole disinformation, the Ministry of Truth thing came out last week, Chuck turned to me and he goes, here's what's really going on. And I'll let you explain it. If you can. If not, I'll just keep talking. No.
I just indicated that it's one more opportunity for the Biden administration to shovel money to their operatives in the Spanish community to try to get their vote total up, because it's really cratering.
Why did you think that? Explain why you think that.
Well, because they're putting all this money into it. And as a practical matter, if they come out and say, well, the laptop is disinformation, wherever they say, nobody's going to believe it. So they just have to set up the one, start funneling money to down there to the border, to all those Texas counties that are going Republican, and start paying off people.
Well, and I think more specifically, though, when they announced the disinformation, Board Mayorkas flat out said, particularly, we're concerned about disinformation in Hispanic communities. I mean, he flat out said that.
Well, he also said, we want to people who will help identify people who could be falling into extremism. But haven't been extremists and they haven't done anything. How do you do that? Well, you start having monitors. And how do you get monitors? You start paying people $1,000 to make sure the dastardly Republicans aren't around. It's all,
it's tied in. But I think what was interesting is you noted that when they announced it, they said, because there were a couple of interesting things. Mayorkas said, we want to fight against disinformation from the cartels. I was like, the cartels don't, they're drug dealers. They don't really put out
they're telling people that Haitians that they can come to the United States when they really can't come to the United States.
Well, what I mean, though, is you were right. And then he specifically mentions disinformation against the cartels or from the cartels, which is weird. And then he talks.
No, it's not, because it's easy. I mean, nobody's going to go. If the cartels are getting disinformation out, nobody's going to go, oh, no, But they meant the cartels. Republicans. But he said cartels.
Well, no, I would take it further. I think when you add to that they said that we want to go ahead and, particularly combat misinformation in the Hispanic community, it goes back to what you said. They just totally want to funnel money and have an excuse to funnel money into the Hispanic community.
Into their supporters in the
Hispanic community.
Right. I mean, who's going to be finding the disinformation in the Hispanic community? Well, the Democratic operatives.
And I would go even, I mean, finding disinformation is just sort of, icing on the cake. I think they just wanted a money laundering operation.
Well, they don't, disinformation is the Republicans are good. That's disinformation. Right. As far as they're concerned, it's all a lie.
Right.
And the second time he comes around, he starts going best practices.
Yeah, so we'll play that. So Karl Rove listened to Chuck's theory, which is basically, look, the disinformation.
He really didn't, but he did have
basically.
He really did have come to the same conclusion.
Saying that there's wheels within wheels here, and a lot of it has to do with funneling money to help them win the Hispanic vote.
Yes.
So, TG, if we could please play the Karl Rove soundbite.
They appointed her apparently 2 months ago, and we find out about it yesterday. The real purpose of the board is to distribute money. It does have authority to distribute money, and they've made it clear, Mayorkas has made it clear, that they're going to put a priority on minority communities who are being misled by disinformation, with a special emphasis on Hispanics. Now, let's think about that for a minute. What is the one group in the electorate this year the Democrats are nervously shaking and their hands over because they're afraid that they're going to see significant drop in the support for a Democrat candidate? The Hispanic community. So this is this sounds like a political gambit being led by somebody who has no credibility in leading such a board concerning disinformation.
Well, and as you pointed out, Chuck, the big problem was the rollout was terrible. What they thought was going to happen was, they could sneakily get it in there, funnel all the money wherever they wanted to.
Right.
Media matters.
We talked about that in the budget session.
Right.
And then he also, we don't have the board, talks about how wonderful the head of the new executive director is going to be. And she's a joke. You just saw a picture of her.
Well, and then Mayorkas kind of admits, we could have rolled this out a little bit better.
But he said, she's wonderful. She's not biased. I mean,
but then listen to his explanation of what they're going to do. If we could please, Thomas, please play.
This guy ought to be indicted. There's no question.
If you can, then tell us if you can figure out what he's saying. If you could please play the Mayorkas soundbite.
So what it does is it works to.
You there, Thomas? Oh, there we go.
Well, act. What will it do?
So what it does is it works to ensure that the way in which we address threats, the connectivity between threats and acts of violence are addressed without infringing on free speech, protecting civil rights and civil liberties, the right of privacy. And the board, this working group, internal working group, will draw from best practices and communicate those best practices to the operators, because the board does not have operational authority.
Will American citizens be monitored?
No.
No.
Guarantee that.
Well, so what we do, we in the Department of Homeland Security don't monitor American citizens.
No.
Change that?
No. The board does not have any operational authority or capability. What it will do is gather together best practices in addressing the threat of disinformation from foreign state adversaries, from the cartels, and disseminate those best practices to the operators that have been executing in addressing this threat for years.
Now, what does that mean? Let's just take a look at that. First of all, what he does is he doesn't want to call it a board. This is just a working group,
working group.
These guys get together.
I don't know why we called it a governance.
I mean,
board.
They
that's
get,
dumb.
Yeah, that's stupid. Dumb. Whoever calls that, they get together for coffee. What now, what best practices is he talking about? Best
money.
Practices for what?
Money. That's yeah. best practices. Yeah. What works best? Money.
Money. And who are the operators? It's like, wait, so this working group over coffee is going to come up with some best practices to
money.
What? Right? And then they're going to give it to the operators. Who are the operators? Is that like 911? Is that the Ministry of Truth? You know, the guy who says 2 + 2 = 5. Say it, Winston. Is that the operator? It's just so you look at his thing and it's so the working group is going to develop best practices and give it to the operators.
They've been against doing the cartels.
This against
stop the cartels.
Cartels.
The ones who are allowing to come across the border, the ones who are making a fortune for as they bring people up to the border and get them through. We want to tell those cooperators about our best practices.
It's like, what the heck does that mean? And I mean, do you even believe him for a second?
No.
Right? They're trying to walk back and say, oh, no, we would never. I mean, it is like 1984 when they say monitoring and censoring your free speech, that protects the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, no, you know, censoring things, that's not infringing on your civil rights at all. That's what we support
that. Obama's abomination of the speech at Stanford where he gave every wonderful bromide for why the Democrats have to get back control of the media, which they had for many, many years, and they're starting to lose it. And they said, we can't have that. We've got to have guidelines. We have to have guardrails. We have to have
best practices.
Best practices.
And then to give to the operators.
Yeah.
I'm still not clear who are the operators. Well, are those the people who show up and bang on our door while we're doing the podcast and say, hello, I mean, that sounds kind of CIA-ish, right? That's
like,
hello, I'm an operator here and I've come to take all of your video equipment and your children. It's like, I'm the operator just following the best practices. And then Mayorkas would have us believe, but that's all to protect your free speech rights.
And especially for you out in the marginalized communities
right. Who
need protection, because free speech always imposes on these marginalized
and
communities.
And the more drop boxes we have in your marginalized communities, the more free speech and disinformation you're...
What happened in 1860, Frederick Douglass, the African-American who was fighting slavery, said, you know, free speech is the enemy of tyranny. And he said, slavery cannot withstand free speech, because he knew as long as people didn't have to talk about what was going on, they could maybe keep the oppression of slavery on. But now it's, oh no, those poor marginalized communities,
as long as
we don't allow them to hear anything, that might hurt their democratic overlords.
Well, and so that's why it's good that people like Josh Hawley, Lauren Boebert are saying, hey, let's defund this working group, right? Let's defund the Ministry of Truth.
And get rid of the Department of Homeland Security.
But you know, Mitch McConnell is going to go ahead and stab us in the back and say, no, it's going to be part of the Ukraine/COVID money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't going to have anything to do with COVID.
Another $33 billion here, $13 billion there. We never could find full funding for the wall, but we were very busy. That would come next
so
time.
So that's a joke. And the other thing is, you know that it's correct, is look at how they're freaking out. I mean, we saw today that, you know, somebody was tweeting like, well, these are the Republicans are Nazis. And Elon Musk is like, you know, look at this is from the party that covered up the Harvey Weinstein thing, you know, protected Matt Lauer. I mean, all of these sleazy people, Jeffrey Epstein, although he didn't mention that. So maybe he knows Jeffrey Epstein. but he talks about that. But one more soundbite. This was David Zurawick, who is the media analyst for CNN.
He's formerly an editor at the Baltimore Sun.
Yeah, these people are just freaking out.
This is unreliable sources.
Over the weekend. If we could please play the CNN soundbite.
The personalities of people like Elon Musk, and people say, oh, I think Elon's thinking this or that. There's a bigger problem here about how we are going to control the channels of communication in this country. In 1927, we had the Radio Act. 1934, the Communications Act. Congress stepped in. We made rules. FCC wasn't great, but it's still regulating the broadcast industry. You can't use vulgar language. You can't do all these things with speech. We gave over our what amounts to our airwaves or our internet waves to Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. And we are in so much trouble because those guys believe in making money. We've already seen with the 2016 election and Zuckerberg,
CNN,
and he was taking
orders
for ads from Russia and saying, oh, I think it's crazy to think they had any influence on this election. Mm. Musk is the same. Musk doesn't want it. You know, he's upset with the SEC, tried to, how dare they question him? You know what I'm saying? This is dangerous. We can't think anymore in this country. We don't have people. No, I'm serious. We don't have people in Congress who can make regulations that can make it work. I think we can look to the Western countries in Europe for how they are trying to limit it. But you need controls on this. You need regulation. You cannot let these guys control discourse in this country, or we are headed to hell. We are there. Trump opened the gates of hell, and now they're chasing us down.
Wait,
it's Trump's fault, by the way. It's Trump's fault. So a number of things he said there. I mean, number one, he kept saying we need to control. He's not saying they. He says
the
we need to control
government.
And then he talks about how these organizations, Musk and Zuckerberg, are in it to make money. Of course, CNN, they don't make money, but none of the networks are in it to make money. Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, clearly not in anything to make money. So that's a lie. Then the other thing he talks about is the FCC, right? Well, that's a big question. So if somebody's going to control it, why do we have the Department of Homeland Security trying to control it? Right? Why not have the FCC? Yeah, because they're going to come up with the best practices and then tell the operators about how to handle it so we can all relax easily.
We want to be an operator.
Yeah. This from Karen Cataline. I totally believe them, Chuck and Julie, 10 days to flatten the curve. Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, Dr. Donna, I doubt he even knows what hell really is. I don't know. He was sitting there with all those CNN analysts himself. So maybe he does. Leo says, I'm going to go buy stock in adult diapers because these Dems are cramping their pants. That's right. And Steve, from Stephen, George Soros and Barack Hussein Obama opened the gates of hell and the fires are burning white hot. Yeah, I mean, they have lost control of the narrative, which they used to have. And now I think, I also am going to raise something because we're going to talk about this later this week too, is the 2000 Mules, right? That's the Dinesh D'Souza documentary on,
coming out this week.
On ballot mules and ballot trafficking. And I think part of it's available. I've been trying to find it to watch it. I think, which basically shoots down a lot of their argument about the election being the total gold standard, right? You can't look at that. I mean, that's video evidence, right? Now you can try to argue some things, but you can't deny that it happened. I also think that this is in part a step to crack down on that, right? They want to crack down on the dissemination. Because you look at the polls, and there are, in spite of all of their attempts to shove it down our throats, that we have the gold standard of elections in this state and in this country, there are a heck of a lot of people who think that there were issues and problems with the 2020 election.
Perfect. It was great. What are you talking about,
Julie? So people aren't buying it, and now there's even more information coming out. Yeah, this is to Stephen and Karen from Leo. It's the last 10 days after 3 years. Exactly. And Dr. Donna, there is some sense of satisfaction gained by watching these folks. It is, Dr. Donna. It is kind of funny. But I also worry, though. I mean, what do you think about this? Because they are dangerous now, right? And because they're backed into a corner. Well, but they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And that makes me, that's kind of like when the kidnapper takes off his mask, right? That's never, you know what I mean? That's never a good sign. So these people are taking,
if
you're the hostage, right? So we're the hostages and they have taken off their mask. Now, you know, and we're the only ones who can save ourselves. So, I mean, what do you think? That's the only thing that worries me.
Well, I think they have the elections controlled, and you know, they may let the 2022 go by and then really ratchet it up for 2024.
Right.
But as long as you have the useful fools like Colorado Republicans who keep on telling them how perfect they're doing. I mean, I love the fact that in Colorado, they just seized everything from ballot boxes to same day registration without a peep from the Republicans. Not a peep. Oh, I oppose that. But now it's the law. And so, you know, in Georgia, if they say that you have to survey drop boxes, the Major League Baseball pulls out of Georgia because it's the Democrats scream when you have the most reasonable minor
Being an American citizen.
Yeah, being an American citizen, matching signatures. And they say, oh, that's voter suppression.
That's racist.
And the problem is, and this is the one we had in Alaska. They had a good one, Gateway Pundit, where Alaska changed it to a jungle primary. They have rank voting, all the things to make the Democratic Party, who was otherwise losing in Alaska,
win
to be able to win. And who allowed them to do it? Well, it's a moderate Republican. They do it in Colorado. They destroy the Republican Party because all they care about, they have to just be in charge of one of the parties, even if it's a minor party. And there'll always be money into, okay, we'll sign up with this, Governor Polis. There'll be a bipartisan partisan deal. So all the people that are part of the moderate, Hank Brown and Owens, and they're all do those, you know, okay, here's a new great money thing for that'll be for the kids. Yeah, that'll
right,
be
right.
It.
Yeah,
so all they care is that they can be bought off, and Dick Wadhams too, and that's all they care about. And they'll destroy the Republican Party and be happy. The problem isn't destroying the Republican Party as long as they can keep it away from the grassroots. That's all that matters to Christy Burton Brown. She's happy to destroy the Republican Party and has destroyed the Republican Party. And they as long as they can be in charge of that husk that just kind of sits there.
Well, and we're going to have Ash Epp, you know, Ash in America app. She's got an interesting column on that. I don't want to steal her thunder, but we're going to have her on Wednesday too. We got a great show on Wednesday. I see Jacob has his hand raised. Hey, Jacob, go ahead and weigh in here.
Hi.
Hi.
I think these guys are freaking out with Twitter because there's several lawsuits going on where people were dropped. And now that Elon Musk is on top of this, and I think a lot of these employees are contract employees, he's going to say that the plaintiffs do have a case, and if you could just leave me alone and just sue the contractors on their own, they're going to lose the money.
Jacob, that's brilliant, because for folks, if you're not aware, Alex Berenson was a New York Times reporter who was doing a lot of research on the whole COVID thing, right?
Yeah.
And was one of the first ones to come up with all of the problems with the numbers and things. And his lawsuit in California, I think it was just over the weekend, maybe or on Friday, the judge said it can go forward, and Twitter has they can't delay it, start giving over, handing over depositions and documents.
Right.
So that's a really good point.
And they're going to have to give over information where they conspired. I don't know if the word conspired is the right word, but they went in parallel with the media,
right,
to destroy Trump in that 2020 election. And I think all this stuff is going to come out.
You know, and that's a good point, because if you're Elon Musk, you could say, because if you're like a contract employee, having been one before, and I guess essentially a freelance employee. Yeah, you sign a thing. I mean, you're not given, what's the term? You're not
immunity,
right? You're not immune. You can be sued yourself. That's pretty smart. And he might just say, go ahead, sue him. Here, I'll give you the documents. Yeah. I wanted to fire that guy anyway.
So that lady that's making the $17 million a year, she might be running to another attorney just to save her skin. So
that's a very good point. Thank you for that. Good point.
Okay.
Yeah, as always, follow the money, right? It's not just ideology.
What was her name? The CEO for Twitter.
Yeah, I don't. I can't.
God, I can't remember her name, but it brings up a similar topic, which this is a confession on my part. For weeks, and this is the third week of the Depp versus Heard trial, and it'd be the front of the website for Fox and everything else. I'm not going to listen to that stupid story. I don't know who Amber Heard is, and I'm not enthralled by Johnny Depp. So, but they kept on running it and running it. It's like it used to be for the Olympics. So they'd run it. I'll check it. And then all of a sudden you're hooked in. You know?
I know Chuck spent the entire weekend listening to portions of testimony of the Johnny Depp.
Why I think it's so interesting. One is because you have a clearly black and white thing. One person's incredibly evil.
And Chuck certainly is. That's Amber Heard. Well, she's a victim, Chuck.
She's a victim.
The ACLU wrote that whole nice editorial for her.
Yeah, I know. Talking about it. Even her attorney.
Even be remotely slanderous or libelous, but anyway.
But the key to why you're hooked in, the same why you're hooked into Jodi Arias, Casey Anthony, attractive young women that epitomize evil are much better, you know, much more fun to watch than some old biddy or something. You know, you want young, attractive women who are incredibly evil. And Amber Heard is incredibly evil. Johnny Depp is kind of a nerd and kind of a wimp, but he's a nice guy.
Well, I mean, he did have some, you know, drug and alcohol. I mean, I don't think you'd want your daughter.
One star that isn't there.
What I'm saying is, maybe a nice guy. I don't know that you'd want your daughter to marry Johnny Depp.
Well, you're
but
better
anyway.
Than marrying Amber Heard because she had a previous wife who said she was just awful. So I mean,
isn't it interesting, the unfavorable press that Me Too Amber is getting? So Charlene, and I want you guys to weigh in on this. Chuck and I have been talking about this, so because I kind of listened to the first one, I read it in the Daily Mail over in England, which was the defamation suit there before a judge, and there they did not have cameras in the courtroom, and the judge ruled in Amber Heard's favor. Yes. And I would say, reading those articles, Amber Heard came out better in that. And I'm saying to Chuck, essentially we're talking about the same set of facts, right? The same circumstances, the same arguments, the same pooping in the bed, the same breaking the finger, the same throwing the phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We heard all of that before, but somehow or another, this time around, Johnny Depp is coming out hugely the winner, to the point of TMZ has even turned against him, or turned against Amber Heard, and is saying, you know, reporting on the petition to get her off of Aquaman 2, where they
over a million people.
Why do you guys think it is? What is the difference that over in England, before the judge, Amber won, and here she's losing so badly, she's firing her PR team to try to start, you know, the new thing?
Because
what's
you get
the difference?
To see the evidence yourself. You get to see her. You get to see how she reacts. And you know, they had a body language expert that says that contempt smirk that she has, very similar to Jodi Arias, very similar to Casey Anthony. She comes across as evil. She's just not sitting there. She comes across. And
so it's sort of like a human drama play.
Well, you get to see the evidence as opposed to having it filtered through the PR firms and down through the papers. You know, they can't tell you, oh, yeah, she's coming across wonderful. As her personal assistant talking about her sister's relationship, saying, well, Amber sort of treated her like a dog, which she could kick around, abuse.
You can tell Chuck's been into this. He's been listening. He's been into it.
Well, I missed the first 2 weeks because I didn't care. But now I care totally. And everybody, I mean, everybody and their mother are waiting for Amber Heard to take the stand.
Because she, in
the UK proceedings, the judge loved her. Thought she was the most gorgeous little thing he'd ever seen.
Right. And this totally from Charlene, who okayed press in this courtroom, but not the Maxwell court case. Very good question, Charlene. Yeah. Excellent question. Well, and I think some of it has to do too. I'm going to be optimistic about the country. I think in the time in between the two trials, and the difference between England and the United States is, you know, people are kind of see through the Me Too movement, right? The time when you could just be a young, pretty actress, have the ACLU write an editorial for you in the Washington Post because you promised to donate Johnny Depp's money to them.
Well, but also Elon Musk's money.
And Elon Musk's money.
Elon Musk picked her up while she was cheating on Johnny
her.
And he gave
but what
her
I mean,
a
was
quick
just
half
I,
million to the beautiful ACLU, who's the only group who's lost more than Amber Heard over this.
Yeah.
Because they're the one who planted it in the Washington Post.
And I think that, though, the country has turned, right? So just because the ACLU says anymore that you're a victim of domestic abuse doesn't mean that people buy it, particularly if you're a wealthy movie star and he's a wealthy movie star, right?
The testimony is she was the one who was railing on him, hitting him and smacking him and smashing his finger. And she was the aggressive, vicious one. It's not really a total rejection of the Me Too movement because you can always move. But if it proved that Johnny was beating her up every night and stuff, different deal. But it's clear that she is absolute evil. and needs to be
we need to stop Chuck, because this morning I was telling Chuck, I'm like, hey, you know you have to get up, you have to come downstairs, and Chuck is like, don't go Amber Heard on me. I'm like, we're going to prevent him from watching it anymore, because as you're going Amber Heard, I'm like, I just said, can you pick this up?
No,
it's like,
exactly.
Don't go Amber Heard on me. This is from Leo. The trial is like the rhythmic gymnastics in the Olympic. Nobody cares. People wonder why it gets attention, but you watch because you're waiting for the two trains to collide. Mm-hmm. And from Sandra, that's what makes Amber Heard and young women like her. They know how to use people. And Charlene Heard is single-handedly destroying the Me Too movement.
Exactly.
So from that, I mean, so Chuck will be keeping you posted on that.
Absolutely. I'll give you another report on Wednesday, because we expect Amber Heard to take the stand.
You're kind of busy,
either
Sean.
Tuesday or Wednesday. Not that busy, lady.
She might be
not
great.
That busy.
Her new PR team is fast at work. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and this ties into everything too, is did you notice the New York Times did this horrendous hit piece on Tucker Carlson, and in so doing used him to attack all of us. They said that Tucker Carlson epitomizes all of the white people, we're talking about us, in the country who are terrified because of the country's changing ethnic demographics. I'm like, what?
Yeah, well, they called him a nationalist, which is a dirty word in the Democrat, but they wanted to call him a white nationalist so they could refer to him as a South African sort of type. But 10,000 words,
20,000, because it was several parts, right?
Well, 10,000, and then they had another addendum, and
right,
everything else. But it starts out describing how he didn't like his mother, his whole life, you know, kind of
the
fact that he is a great great grandson of a guy named Miller who did cattle ranches in California in 1850. And somehow he's guilty of cattle ranching in it because his great, great, great.
Well, and I mean, and the thing is they're doing this again. It all ties in. And I think a lot of it just, it comes to the midterms. It comes to trying to control the disinformation. More people watch Tucker Carlson than watch MSNBC and CNN combined, than read the New York Times, probably in the Washington Post combined. And so they understand that they have lost control of the narrative, and they want to try to make Tucker Carlson sound like this Trump puppet. And all of us who watch Tucker Carlson, little white nationalist racist. The problem that they're up against, though, is there are way more, and this is what you always have to remember, there are way more of us than there are of them, right? And so they can do this story and all of the little colors go, oh, brave, New York Times, you know, maybe we could get Taylor Lawrence on the whole thing too in Redundant.
Yeah.
I mean, in the meantime, you know,
well, they say halfway through the 10,000 words is that the writer for this article, the reporter for this article, is a contributor to MSNBC.
Gets paid by a competing network.
MSNBC.
Yeah.
You go, oh, no, you're kidding.
And here's what's happened. I mean, I worked in the media for a long time, and it was the management. I mean, no matter what kind of bad information or, you know, bad being bad information you would have on somebody at another station or another news outlet, you hardly ever touched it, largely because no one, you know, don't throw, you know, rocks if you're in a glass house. But they wanted to avoid that. It was just considered unprofessional, unethical, unless it was so bad that you really like couldn't ignore it, right? But the fact that the New York Times would spend, they had a team of people looking into destroying Tucker Carlson, who of course could care less, right? Well, maybe he doesn't not care less, but it doesn't
well,
hurt him.
Charlene, Chuck, I'm watching too.
Oh, she has a bitch.
What, man? I would even date a hot mess anymore. You know, we'll have to bring back that wonderful.
Oh God, we will get so we would get so banned for this.
Banned
it
for
was
whom?
The hot rich. Well, yeah, the hot rich.
Hot crazy.
Hot matrix, crazy
for women,
matrix.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hot crazy matrix and
the gist
and
of
where you want to find somebody you date on the hot crazy matrix. I mean, you know, you can be super hot, but you're going to date them anywhere, no matter how crazy they are. And then into somebody you'd actually like to date, which is Susan. And then they say, well, where is the guy, where is the woman that is both hot and totally sane? And they say, and the guy goes, that's a dude, buddy. You got a tranny on your
so
head.
Now we're going to be banned.
Now we're going to be banned.
And likewise, though, they also said the reverse was true for women in terms of the hot rich, not crazy, but hot rich.
Good
so, yeah, good looking. So the more money you had, the less handsome you have to be. There's a lot of truth to this. And the more, the less money you had, the better looking
you had to be.
But I think Amber Heard and Johnny Depp are sort of proof of all of that. Charlene, you and Chuck can compare notes. It's just kind of funny. I think it's interesting how that'll turn out. I do think part of it is that the world's eyes have been opened, and that before, where you just kind of were forced by the media to breathlessly, you know, support Amber Heard.
She's an ambassador for domestic violence of the ACLU. And you kind of go, that's because you're so good at it. I mean, how did she become the ambassador?
Well, and then what a slime ball. She promises to give a children's hospital and the ACLU millions of dollars from the Johnny Depp divorce settlement because it was not about the money. And then she reneged on that, right?
Well,
she
gave 100,000 to the hospital, more to the ACLU, but usually other people's money, including Elon Musk's $500,000.
That's right. Nice counts for something too. No, this is from earlier. Dr. Donna had said, yes, he did. He wasn't a mean drunk, I guess. No. And Johnny Depp just, I don't know. Number one, if you're Amber Heard, I don't mean to say anything, but going to the Charlene, the hot, crazy matrix, if you're dating Johnny Depp, I would question that too. If Amber Heard or my daughter, she goes, oh my God, Mom, I dated this great guy, Johnny Depp. Yes, he has some drug and alcohol problems, but he's extremely rich. I would be like, well, honey, you know, get a prenup or something.
Don't get a prenup.
Yeah, don't get a prenup.
Don't even get a prenup. Make sure he does. Don't get a prenup.
But you're right. It is one of those things where it is. When you think you have problems, you're like, ooh, you know, or you think maybe.
Well, it is nice. There's something about, okay, what if I was incredibly rich and considered, you know, Mr. Hunk and all the women love me and stuff.
But you're not?
Oh, well, I am, of course. What would my life be like? And you find it'd be hell. Just piece of shit.
Well, that's the thing. You listen to their arguments, right? And you're like, you people all have private jets that you could fly away in. Why are you even arguing this nasty argument like that? But anyway, that's a whole different story.
It's not. Let's continue on here. Johnny Depp, Amber Heard analysis. Amber Heard hits the stand, everybody's going to be watching. Can she put that spell on that she did out in the UK?
Her PR term. Here's what her PR term. She's hired the PR term. If things start to go south, there's going to be some little PR intern standing there right by the fire alarm, right? Yeah, and they're going to like pull that or something, or call in a bomb threat or something.
You can get
and they'll
your
have to
bet in because she's probably going to be testifying for about 16 hours, maybe. But in which hour will the first weeping occur? I'm betting on hour 9. I've got my bet on number 9.
Oh, no.
But
she's going to cry within the first 45 minutes.
Well, then get your money down.
There we go. Hey, Liz, okay, so enough of that. We'll keep you updated.
No, enough of that. Plenty more of that
coming up. Run out of time. Charlene, you can...
Oh, that's how fast it goes when you're having a good time.
You can help us talk about it, too. Thank you for listening today. Want to remind you, John St. Augustine on the John Bonet Ramsey case, some stuff that I had not heard before. So that should be a pretty interesting conversation, along with Ash Epp. And she has that say a controversial issue or controversial idea on how to handle the Colorado Republican Party. And it's kind of like,
it's going to be great. And you'll get an update
on the Amber Heard case.
And if she's testified.
All right. Hey, that'll do it for us. Thank you, everybody on Zoom. Thank you, great guys at BBS. Remember, you can catch all the links to all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.